Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." You may be seated. We'll hear part three of the rebuke of the JVT.
The title is actually an identity rebuttal to JVT, and this is part three. Well, did today's scripture reading sound like it was talking about a specific people when it speaks of us? The called. I've dealt with that in previous messages, and of course it's talking about Israel. I'll get right to it. Today's message is somewhat of a refresher course because we can't just say the white race is the true Israel, because most of this generation is invariably persuaded that Jews are Israel. So we are compelled to explain why that is not possible. Why is it so important to talk about Jews when they seemingly have such an upper hand influencing the theology of most churches today? The task of enlightening our kindred about the greatest hoax ever perpetrated against mankind, the Jewish fraud of assuming the identity of Israel, can be incredibly daunting and seem to be far more trouble than what it's worth. And that is what the enemy is counting on. Just let them be free to practice their religion like everybody else. However, the Jew is not like any other people on the face of the earth. They are hated by God because God knows the extent of their evil. The blood of Christ upon each and every generation of Jews. Let me ask another question, somewhat more poignant. In the event of someone stealing your credit card or hacking into your computer and assuming your identity, why wouldn't it be acceptable to just leave it alone and not challenge the identity thief? Well, for one thing, it would encourage other identity thieves that there would be no repercussions. Christian law and order would be substituted with lawlessness and chaos. Thou shalt not steal has been an invaluable social construct to the white race ever since it was codified at Mount Sinai by Moses. Without it, we could lose everything we worked for in a lifetime. When enemies of our race like Rabbi Burnus, pretend to be white and Christian. They are stealing our heritage and destiny. They have hijacked prophecy so that it all revolves around the Jew. The blasphemy of them who say they are Judahites, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Well, JVT, the Jewish Voice Today, perpetuates the myth from 2,000 years ago. It wasn't so easily propagated in former times when our people were more vigilant against incredulous actors, when entire Jewish populations were purged from a nation and their blasphemous Talmud burned. Elizabeth Dilling writes, "The Talmud was burned at the stake in nearly every century from the 11th to the 18th in Italy, France, Germany, Spain, and many other countries." So what has made the Jewish Voice Today appear more credible and palatable? Money. It's that simple. Rabbi Burnus would not be on TV or wallowing in the luxury of the Jewish media monopoly except for the secret and hidden hand of Jewish alchemy to transform white Christians into lapdog goyim and the abject slavery of mind control to bless a collective antichrist. MK Ultra is alive and well. A Christian's mind has been pacified if it allows its namesake to be hyphenated with another religion, especially one that crucified Christ. We might as well call Christianity Murder Incorporated. And for fear of the Jews, if you deny the chosenness of Jewry, they will kill your livelihood, your reputation, and your soul. Really sporting of them, don't you think? Without Judeo-Christians, Rabbi Burnus and JVT would be gathered as tares and cast into a furnace of fire. And thus, the peremptory fantasy called the Holocaust, which takes on more religious significance than the Jewish prosecution and persecution, the murder of Jesus Christ. What better way to placate white Christians than to steal their identity and have them thank you for it? Because after all, if you curse the Jew, then God will curse you. But the funny thing about that one is that nobody has ever been blessed by Jews. When lavished with inordinate tithing, except maybe the money changers. It's just an illusion built on lies. And we all know that if we curse them, especially with that pesky truth, which allegedly will make you free, then you will be labeled with that horrible appellation of being anti-Semitic, even though they're not descended from Semites. But tell a lie often enough, and the saturation will eventually soak in. The bigger the lie, the bigger the payoff. But it has to be maintained. Sorry, Rabbi, but it's wearing a little thin. Christian identity is blowing on your house of cards. Well, let's follow the money trail. The founder before Rabbi Burnus was a Rabbi Lewis Kaplan, a predominantly Khazarian Ashkenazi name. creating the Jewish Voice Broadcast Incorporated in 1967. Not to be confused with any Christian voice. On their website, they make this preposterous statement. Because eschatology, for most white Christians, has become Judaized. Quote, "Not coincidentally, Israel reclaimed the city of Jerusalem in the 1967 Six-Day War in fulfillment of a prophecy in Luke 21:24 that directly connects the reestablishment of Jerusalem with the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled," end quote. Well, what's wrong with this picture? Well, true Israel doesn't and didn't have to reclaim anything. The Jews launched a surprise military offensive against Arab states in 1967 and gained new territories. The verse in Luke reads, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Well, the King James is a Masoretic Jew spin doctrine on the word Gentile, which unfortunately has been Judaized to mean non-Jews rather than nations or heathen, the latter of which is the proper context. From mongrel prophets like Hal Lindsey and Benny Hinn, Luke 21:24 is prophesied to mean until the times of the Israel nations to be fulfilled. And then switch true Israel for the false Jewish Israel, which cannot be properly interpreted that way. The first part of verse 24 has already been fulfilled by the Roman army raising Jerusalem to a grease spot in 70 AD and carrying off the surviving Jews. That is, the bad figs of Judah to other Roman territories, especially southern Italy, because the good figs of Judah were prophetically warned by Christ 40 years beforehand to get out of Dodge before the calamity. So they didn't wait until the very last minute. Well, these bad fig escapees, contrary to the good figs, were some of the Edomite Jews that would be 8 centuries later called, not by God, but mongrels, to proselytize the Khazars to Judaism, whom history documents as migrating into Eastern Europe, becoming 95% of world Jewry, today's Jewish voice. Their descendants, the enemies of Christ, were the Gentiles, the non-Israelites, heathen, that fell by the sword in Jerusalem. Likewise, the modern Jews are only vessels of dishonor and destruction, not fit for conversion or conviction to the Word of God. The enemies of our race, and therefore the enemies of Christ, have trashed Jerusalem since the time of Christ. And as far as God is concerned, Jerusalem is finished as one breaks a potter's vessel, that it cannot be made whole again. In the second part of verse 24 in Luke 21, true Israel will always be a nation race. Therefore, our time is not the same time as the heathen mongrels' time being fulfilled, that is, coming to an end. becoming extinct. And yet one of Rabbi Bernus's favorite prayer requests is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, contrary to Scripture. Well, yeah, it's found in Psalms 122, verse 6. It was true when true Israel occupied the ancient city and was not meant to be a prayer in perpetuity. True Israel has the promises of God that he will never abandon or forsake thee. But the children of darkness who occupy Jerusalem today have no such guarantees. But we, the children of light, are Jerusalem wherever the nations of Israel govern. Our destiny was that we would move away from Palestine for good. Moreover, I, this is God speaking, will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. 2 Samuel 7:10. The new Jerusalem replaces the old Jerusalem because the old is destroyed forever. So let us pray that it is filled to the brim with Edomites when Obadiah comes. Clearly, Rabbi Kaplan is a liar and cannot be a Christian and a Jew at the same time. It's the old shell game of, is being a Jew a race or a religion? If one believes in a Jewish race, then you have to explain the Khazar conversion to Judaism, being that the Khazars were not from the seed line of either Israel or Judah. We have historical record and genealogy in which we can trace the rise of the Jew from Eastern European Ashkenazi Jews. The Ashkenazi originated long before the birth of Abraham. Genesis 10, 2 and 3 says, Ashkenaz and Togarma, these are the ancestors of all the Turkish tribes. The Khazars were the offspring of Togarma. Well, Ashkenaz and Togarma were the sons of Gomer, the son of Japheth, whose other son was Magog. Now, Japheth was the brother of Shem, both sons of Noah. The Shemites were Semites. To be Semitic is to be from Shem, not Japheth. Ezekiel 38, verses 2 and 6, is the highly promoted church version of the related families of Magog invading the mountains of Israel, which, without any further investigation, other than the boob tube evangelist, is an erroneous and fictitious Israel having no roots from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but biblically are the prophesied enemies of the nation of Israel. The 12 tribes, or nations of Israel, are scattered throughout the world, whereas Jewish Israeli is only one country that is artificial from its inception. And these Aryan nations are under attack now by the descendants of Magog, fulfilling the prophecy of Ezekiel 38. The roles have been reversed, and the consequences of calling good evil and evil good become self-evident. The presumption has been that the Jews were Israelites and the Russians were Magog. But history and his story say otherwise. In other words, just because the invaders came down from the north does not make them Russians. The Khazars were conquered by the Rus and assimilated into Russian society while retaining their Jewish identity. And they got their revenge in 1917 during the Bolshevik Revolution, which was financed and executed by Jews, establishing international communism and killing an estimated 30 million Christian Russians. When the Soviet Union fell in 1991, the Jews started jumping ship and brought Marxism to the United States under the guise of democracy. Well, America is now under a Marxist president. Jews really don't need a state of their own, being that they have puppet regimes in strategic places like Washington, D.C., the City of London, Vatican City, and there's more, even in Paris, France. This last week, so-called Muslim terrorists shoot the hell out of a cartoon magazine office, killing 12 for depicting Muhammad in a satire. And all of a sudden, 700,000 French people are mobilizing, showing solidarity for freedom of expression. Really? I've heard caveats to that premise that as long as it's not racist hate speech or anti-Semitic, anything else pretty much goes. What hypocrisy. France, if you recall, puts historians and Holocaust researchers into jail for questioning the Jewish hysteria of World War II mythology. In fact, under the Bolsheviks, anti-Semitism was punishable by death. News about France is entirely manipulated by Jewish scribes and Jewish media monopolies. Do you hear a Christian voice about these discrepancies? These awful tragedies manipulated by the very people who demonstrably conned white Christians to fight and die for their dialectical boogeymen from the Masoretic Messianic Jew, the Jewish voice. Not a peep of Christian outrage. Think about this. One artist, Maurice Sinet, a Frenchman, was fired from this same magazine, Charlie Hebdo magazine, because he associated a Jew with success in one of his cartoons. He was told to apologize, and he refused and was fired. It probably saved his life. Most Judeo-Christians are double-minded regarding the multiracial lineage of those claiming a Jewish identity, and yet think of Jews as the purest race on earth. The Times of Israel, an online newspaper, reported that, quote, in 2012, Israeli researcher Aaron Elhake published a study claiming to prove that Khazar ancestry is the single largest element in Ashkenazi gene pool, end quote. Well, Elhake is a geneticist, a Jewish geneticist, with credentials at Johns Hopkins. And his DNA studies show that the vast majority of Jews did not originate in Palestine, nor were they genetically descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but rather converts to Judaism around 640 AD. In Christian identity, we can prove that all of the covenants of God ever made were with the same race of people by simply letting Scripture speak for itself. When the Khazars, who are known as Jews today, converted to Judaism, they attached themselves to a covenant that could not save them, nor could they enjoy a valid covenant relationship with the God of the Bible, especially in light of the new covenant made exclusively with the house of Israel and Judah, Hebrews 8:8, Jeremiah 31:31. And most importantly, the pivotal element of Jesus Christ, which Jews reject. Even the rabbis of messianic deception. As the mind of a convoluted Jew would have it, some argue that because Jews were a religious community descended from converts, they do not constitute a nation or need a state of their own in order to wiggle out of the constraints of a covenantal or contractual obligation behooving a defined nation which the Bible demands. This kind of throws a monkey wrench into the machinations of a religious Zionism and at the same time serves the political objectives of Jewish communism. That is the anti-statist idea of a world without borders, a new world order. Or, as Pastor Elmore related this morning about a new church committed to, and this sounds so nice, a global community. The kingdom of their small g God is the invention of the Jewish people, spiritualizing the Messiah King as the Jews themselves, not Christ. Christian Zionists have taken this canard, hook, line, and sinker, thinking Christ is the centerpiece of worship. But Jesus prophesied of them, saying, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Rabbi Kaplan is quoted in an interview saying, quote, "By accepting Jesus, I haven't lost my Jewish identity. You don't lay aside that. You still remain a Jew." End quote. Did you catch that admission? If he's saying he's a Jew by race, then he is not white or an Israelite. If he's saying he's a Jew by religion, then it's impossible for him to be a Christian. You cannot serve two masters. After being asked if he's redefining the meaning of being Jewish, he attempts to dig a deeper hole by elaborating thusly, quote, "It's a Jewish person who believes Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah and has become a Christian, but they haven't changed their Jewish identity. In reality, a person becomes a real Jew only when he accepts Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, as his Savior." End quote. In Christian identity, we can and do decipher the tangled web of deceit that Jews have spun and prove that Jesus Christ was not a Jew, as the term has been propagated by Jews. The problem goes back to the blasphemy of those who say they are Judah and are not racially pure Judahites, but rather are the synagogue of Satan, who manifest themselves today in a cacophony of many Jewish voices, Orthodox, conservative, Reformed, Messianic, atheistic, spastic, ad nauseum. The fact is, Jews are the epitome of a corrupted bloodline when Esau first mixed with the Canaanites and have subsequently miscegenated wherever they go. This idea of Messianic Jews all come from the same mold. And when Kaplan died in 1998, Bernus then merged his organization 3 years later for a for-profit Jewish music festival production company, becoming a big corporate conglomerate and money-making enterprise, making merchandise of God. It may not register with most of their sleeping prey, but they have a distinct pattern over the years, focusing on their primary target market of the Ukraine, which is the ancestral homeland of the Eastern European Ashkenazi Jew, and now the center of something between a new Cold War and a hot conflict between East and West, having missiles aimed at each other. American tax dollars have been invested heavily to install a Jewish puppet regime in the Ukraine, and JVT is right there licking their chops, having a presence. Being that Zionism has failed in the Middle East, and that the Pax Judaica overwhelming the Arab states has stalled with Syria and Iran, the parasitic Jew is looking for a new host nation, and it's the Ukraine. Ukrainian nationalists are Caucasian and caught in the middle. According to Rabbi Kaplan, an ordained Assembly of God minister with 40 years of evangelical experience, said of the JVT purpose, quote, "We're trying to reach Jewish people to indoctrinate and enlighten them," end quote. A more concise definition can be found in Article 5 of their Articles of Incorporation. No doubt a 501c3 corporation. And it is, quote, "This purposes and objects of this corporation shall be to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ," end quote. Well, it goes on to detail the corporation projects as, quote, "to prepare, produce, and present radio and television programs for a presentation around the world, to produce and distribute and show motion pictures and otherwise engage in the dissemination of the gospel of Christ by any means of communication and the media," end quote. Going out to spread the good news to the global community. There's only two words we need to concentrate on here, and they are media and corporation, both of which are antithetical to the Holy Spirit. Their target market is no secret. It's their fellow Jews. These scribes and Pharisees, of whom Jews are descended from, not the 12 tribes of Israel, are commented upon by the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Why do you not understand me? Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word." John 8:43. In other words, the Jewish voice of Messianic Jews cannot hear the voice of Christ. Jews cannot represent the Word of God. Only true Israel will keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. Christianity has only been advanced by the white race. Judaism has its roots in Babylon, not Moses. That's why the Jewish holy book is called the Babylonian Talmud. What the Jewish voice brings to the table is another Christ and another gospel. And they do so by being a creation of the state, a corporation, and following in the steps of their ancient scribes, hypocrites of disinformation. If you listen to Jewish voices today, you're hearing everything about Jewish people, but only lip service to the person of Jesus Christ. Everything about Messianic Jews, but nothing about the Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A Jewish voice propagating Scripture is adding to and diminishing from the Word. And it is certain that such antagonist will not find a place in the Book of Life. It's really disingenuous to believe that Jews will suddenly turn to the real Christ. Well, maybe a comedic alternative and a Jewish hippie carpenter, but the reality of an Aryan Redeemer? Never! In fact, establishment Jews resent being proselytized by the likes of Rabbi Kaplan and Bernus. Donald Eagle of the National Conference of Christians and Jews said, "There are many Christians who appreciate Judaism who seek no converts from among the Jews, and who only want to live alongside their friends in mutual respect," end quote. Rabbi Maynard Bell, also of Phoenix, Arizona, where Bernus resides and is headquartered, has a bone to pick with Bernus, stating, "The Jewish community defines its own integrity and what is legitimately Jewish. Those who have left is or wish to imply that our faith is incomplete, do not have the right or legitimate authority to define the parameters of Judaism. Given the fact that in 2,000 years of historical experience, Jews have been harassed, prosecuted, and often killed for remaining loyal to their ancestral faith, the visceral reaction of Jews to the effort of even well-meaning evangelists is easily understandable. Many do not appreciate the anti-Semitic implications of evangelism aimed at Jews," end quote. Oh, I can wholly appreciate what is implied by those who hate those who are rightly descended from Shem, Heber, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I am not fooled by the anti-semantics of any Jew trying to worm their way into our Bible. If one unravels the Marxist dialectics of Bernus and Bell, we see the same ulterior motives Jews have towards Christians. They hate it, and they love it. They hate the real Jesus, but love the cash cow on the pagan calendar. They love Christmas, but they hate the nativity scenes. Jews do what they do to produce a synthesis, which is the preventative maintenance to keep white Christians seeing through their transparent motives and purging the Jew from Christian societies. That is our preemptive protocol to protect our posterity from a debauched economy and depraved morality. We haven't been doing a very good job of that, because we have allowed the Jew to infiltrate and indoctrinate our culture with Talmudic filth. They have become the usurer head, and we have become the debtor tail. The Jew has hijacked our government, our schools, and our churches. And that's just the short list. They could not have accomplished their protocols without the incorporation of murder and the perfection of perjury, coupled with a lust for mammon. I'm not privy as to where all the money comes from in order to reach their claim of more than 675 million homes throughout the world via satellite and cable networks, with a state-of-the-art high-definition television studio that is slicker than most of the other televangelist hucksters. Well, get this, they air their weekly program daily on the Church Channel, Daystar, Sky Angel, Cornerstone, the Miracle Channel, I haven't heard of this one, God TV, which broadcasts throughout Israeli. Well, although JVT's stated twofold mission is proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the nations, the global community, which is tongue-in-cheek, for entertaining Jews about the absurdity of being Christian, and secondly, equipping the church, providing education about the Hebraic roots of Christianity, the church's responsibility to Israel and the Jewish people, and how to share Messiah with the Jewish people, end quote. In other words, this latter work of a two-pronged attack against Christianity is to inculcate the ridiculous notion among the Goyim that Jews are convertible and that they must worship the theology of God's chosen people, the Jews. The thing is, of course, that there is a chosen people, and it's us, not them, which was established thousands of years ago in Genesis 3:15. Our people are blind to their own identity because of this massive fraud of passing off Jews as Israelites. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening or blindness has happened to Israel. That may sound a little different from the King James. It's from the NASB. But our own people have a hardened heart and are blind to their biblical heritage because we have been brainwashed to believe a bipolar theology of universalism and Jewish supremacism. Jews have taken this ill-begotten supremacy for the most malevolent of reasons, and it has a twofold purpose. One, to rule the world without Christ, and two, to eliminate Christianity and the white race. Now, there certainly is a supremacy involved in God's plan for the ages, but it's the benevolence and charity only found in white Christian Israel. Even though JVT has a missionary arm of going into third world countries with medical freebies. Their predecessors of white Protestant missionaries did not do what Jews do, awarding Aboriginal coloreds with honorary degrees of being the long-lost tribes of Israel. Whether perceived as literal descendants or gratuitously spiritualized, these primitive people don't have a clue from whence they came. The shallow claim that there is scientific evidence through DNA that tar black Ethiopians, Nigerians, Zimbabwean Negroes, all having distinct genetic and thus ethnic differences, are somehow from the same racial stock as King David? David was Adamic. And Adam means to show blood in the face. That is, to flush or turn rosy. The only people in the world that blush are white people. Because we have this built-in mechanism that physically identifies our race when we're embarrassed or have pangs of guilt or react to temperatures. Have you ever seen a Negro or Oriental blush or have remorse? Of course not. David was never described as brown-skinned or slant-eyed. Quite the contrary, from 1 Samuel 17:42, David is described as ruddy and a fair countenance, which is the same Hebrew word, Yafeh, number 3303, used to describe Sarah in Genesis 12:11, a fair woman to look at. In the seventh Dead Sea Scroll, Sarah is extolled as, quote, her skin was pure white. She had long, lovely hair. The Jew-inspired universalist may argue that Yafeh may only mean beautiful or pleasant because it can't mean both white and ruddy or red. But as a white man, I can tell you that we are not in a constant state of blushing, but our racial countenance is never ending. God said of his people, "You only have I known," or in other words, loved or acknowledged, "of all the families or races of the earth." Amos 3:2. And, quote, "For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure." Psalms 135:4. Why would God choose the people that killed the Son of God and have rejected him for the last 2,000 years? Why would anybody believe that God loves Jews when it can be shown that their true identity is Esau, Edom? JVT is especially proud to embrace the Bani Manash of India, who look Oriental from the pictures I saw. Now, the word Manash having a slight resemblance to Manasseh is enough for Messianic Jews to declare them Israelites. The Jews have been so eager to prove the ancestry of these Indians that several DNA tests have been conducted and none of them prove haplotype indicating Middle East origin. It is only unscrupulous Jews who have dubbed them this name, whom otherwise are known as Mizo, Kuki, or Chin, who all speak a Tibetan Burmese language. Not anything even remotely close to Hebrew, which the Welsh, the Irish, and Celtic languages most definitely do have an affinity with Hebrew. There are only an estimated 9,000 Chin in India, and only 350 were tested in one study and 414 in another, and no evidence whatsoever was found among the men. All those tested indicated East or Southeast Asia. There were 50 women who showed traces of Middle Eastern. But get this, the BBC reported, quote, "The Central Forensic Institute in Calcutta suggests that while the masculine side of the tribes bear no links to Israel, the feminine side suggests a genetic profile with Middle Eastern people that may have arisen through intermarriage." That's a polite term for race mixing. Let me remind you that Jews are a mixed blood people through interracial marriage, contrary to God's law forbidding race mixing. Don't we always say, well, where does it say that? When God brought our people into the promised land, it was full of heathen Canaanites, and our God told our ancestors to utterly destroy them and make no covenants with them or show mercy. Here's the law. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. Deuteronomy 7. Read it and weep. Well, that's what Manasseh and the rest of the northern house of Israel did. If not actually poisoning their seed line, they were tolerating enough of their society whoring after strange gods. And you can only do that with strangers, racial aliens in your land. Another violation of God's law, they shall not dwell in thy land, Exodus 23:33. To cause God to send them into the Assyrian captivity. Perhaps a faction of Manasseh were highbred and God sent them east, where they further mixed their seed line and disappeared from the relevancy of God's plan. But history and scripture clearly indicates a migration of Israelites going north and west of Palestine. The heraldry of Israel is uniquely reflected in the royal houses of Europe, not Asia. It is therefore ludicrous to think that Ashkenazi Jews like Rabbi Bernus and Ethiopian Jews and Indian Jews are all of the same racial stock. The 12 tribes of Israel were the same race as their patriarch Jacob, and they remain racially pure Israelites today, found in the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred peoples. That is, if they can withstand and overcome the Jewish plot against an unhyphenated Christianity. Genesis 17:1 sets in concrete forever the promise of God. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your seed after you. Does that sound like an inclusive of Ethiopians and Indians? JVT is obviously interfering with God's plan for the ages. But we are told the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violence have been seizing it by force. JVT is definitely involved in geopolitical matters if their allegiances are with Tel Aviv and complicit with the bandit welfare state of terrorism in the Middle East, justifying the reign of terror from Ben-Gurion to Netanyahu. There are laws in the Israeli state that forbid the proselytization of Christianity, regardless of denomination. There is a facade that Christianity is tolerated in the land of Antichrist Jews, but that is only reserved for lapdogs like Rabbi Bernus and the crypto-Jews of TBN. And it's good for tourism to get those Judeo-Christian bucks also, I guess. But since Jewish settlers are so fanatical about reclaiming their homeland, then the next logical step is for them to say, "Oy vey, we goofed. Ha ha, our real homeland is in the Crimea." Well, if Rabbi Bernus can't admit or tell the truth that Jews are the result of a Khazar conversion, which is certainly well known in Jewish circles, then he is either a liar or an idiot. And I don't think it's the latter. But there is an insanity that these Jews think they're going to get away with it. I have not seen one thing on JVT website that would suggest a denunciation of Zionism. Such a worldview discredits Christian Zionism's main premise that the Jewish return to the old land of Israel is the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel. Every now and then, the real face of Jewry leaks out. And in 2001, Ariel Sharon slipped in an outburst of fury to Shimon Peres in the Knesset when urged to heed calls from America for a ceasefire, lest the U.S. turn against them. He arrogantly responded to Peres by saying, "Every time we do something, you tell me Americans will do this and will do that. I want to tell you something very clear. Don't worry about American pressure on Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America, and the Americans know it," end quote. Well, this outrageous boast should have been headlines, but there was nothing. It went down the Orwellian memory hole, just like everything I've presented in today's sermon will fall upon deaf Judaized ears. The truth shall make you free. But JVT and all Jews have far too much to lose. Christian identity will never be tolerated by any Jew because it pops the bubble of Jewish supremacy. If Zionism, supported by JVT and every other front group, is more of a stage Khazar invasion by immigration coming primarily from Russia and Ukraine in the north, then Zionism is in reality more like the fulfillment of the great invasion we read about in Ezekiel. Zionism is the invasion of Gog and Magog, not the return of Israel to Palestine. If you can see the invasion with identity vision, if you have the eyes to see Ferguson, Missouri, Paris, France, London, England, wherever white people are being slated for genocide, those who say they are Judah but are the synagogue of Satan have a destiny, but it's far from that of Israel. Jesus gave one of the most important prophecies in that regard, in which he cursed the fig tree for its lack of fruit. And then Matthew 24:34, Jesus is giving further revelation that this fig tree would rear its ugly head again and it would bear many leaves, that is, more mongrelization, but declares, I can guarantee this truth. This generation, meaning genealogy or offspring or race, will not disappear until all these things take place. End quote. He was saying that Jews would not pass away before their nation returns to life as the fig tree. And sure enough, in 1948, the sap began to flow. And the saps would flow from the churches. And the money tree began to grow dollar bills. And more leaves would appear out of thin air. The curse that Jesus placed on the Jews was that no fruit would ever grow on that tree. No righteousness would emanate from any Jew. If the Jews were going to call themselves Israel, they would have to bear fruit that God requires of his people. If anyone says the Jews are bearing fruit, they are accusing Jesus Christ of being a false prophet. Why do they esteem more in their estimation Jews or Jesus? A bona fide Christian Israelite is predestinated to conform to the image of the Son of God. The destiny of Jewry is the perpetual unrighteousness of self. The pattern was set by Esau, selling his birthright for a bowl of soup. When the apostate church has interpreted Matthew 24:30, which says, and then the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, end quote, to mean that the Jews will repent when they see Christ coming in the sky. The meaning is just the opposite. The Greek word for tribes is phule, 54:43. It means an offshoot, a race or clan when applied to a people. But it also means leaves as an extension of a tree. The Greek word for mourn is kopto, number 2875, which literally means to chop or cut down. From the foregoing, we can better understand the meaning of what Christ was getting at, to wit, the offspring of non-Israelites will be cut off. Again in Matthew 13:49, so it will be at the end of the age. The messengers will come forth and sever the wicked from the righteous. That is the context of the fig tree that only brings leaves and not fruit. The leaves will be cut off again in the final destruction of Jerusalem. Not only because they won't bring forth fruit, but their refusal to be fruitful. In like manner, besides the Edomite Jews, the heathen alien will be as though they had never existed. Obadiah 1:16. If our faith is in what God can do, not in what Jews have done, then our faith will bear fruit. As we obey the spirit of the law, based on love, the prophecy of true Israel will come to pass. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who renders justice. Romans 8:33. Our faith is being in agreement with God's supernatural ability to keep His promises to Israel through the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. It is not just the forgiveness of sins, for all have sinned. And what a magnanimous feat of renewal that is. But also, we know that we live in Him, and He lives in us, because He has given us His Spirit. He that does not love the image of God in his people has no saving knowledge of God. We know who they are and what they do. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in His ways, neither were they obedient unto His law. Isaiah 42:24. Isaiah is telling us that our identity will be stolen from us because we don't walk the walk with God. Today, the Christian voice is muffled by an alien Jewish voice that keeps true Israel from walking in His ways. May this message be a torch for light and kindling to ignite the preparations of the heart for our Savior to return in the sky and destroy those who would not have Him reign over them. I'm not finished with that weasel at JVT, nor the den of vipers and thieves at large. For by the eternal grace of God, I will rout them out. We'll conclude this series next time. Thank you.